I became quite bored being a man. I realized that there's limits I can do. How much control do I have over my children when I'm a man?
Meet Robina Asti.
Robina Fedora Asti. I'm 99 and I should be 100 April 7th at 2 p.m.
Robina's life would be quite a story if it were only about her transitioning from a married father of three to a woman at midlife in the 1970s. That would be extraordinary enough, but that's not all there is to Robina's story. Robina, formerly Robert, was a World War II veteran and Navy pilot. As Robina, she fought a legal battle against the U.S. government at age 94. She's pursuing the record of the world's oldest active living pilot, and she started a foundation at the age of 99. I'm Leslie Gold. This is A Life's Story. Robina, tell me what it was like growing up in the 20s and 30s. Do you remember the Depression?
Yes, I do. Everybody was poor. Everybody had a problem. I got so many slaps across the face from my father and even my mother. I can't tell you. Children should be seen, not heard. I think you know the expression, and boy, did they exercise it. So I shut up. The biggest thing in the Depression was the growth of radio. Fortunately, radio receivers were not difficult to make so that you could fill a room with sound very easily. So families would have a radio at home. Papa always decided what programs have at dinner time and so forth. And you always had to listen to what he wanted to hear, not what you wanted to hear. And that's how I got myself interested in radio.
How do they communicate? They only have the sun and the moon.
That's Paige Hansen, Director of Communication for Robina's Foundation, clouddancers.org. We'll learn more about the foundation later in the podcast. Back in World War II, the problem with naval aviation was the airfield moved while the pilots were up in the air. An aircraft carrier is constantly traveling and moving about in the ocean. During World War II, the combination of radar and communication equipment, radio, was perfected to land aircraft in zero visibility.
You know, I'm sure the military was working on communications in the sky already, but she was sort of instrumental in helping get radios into the airplanes, and that's how she started getting up into the air. And she already loved flying, but that was when she really discovered, like, I could be up there, and, you know, met these cloud dancers who are sort of the people who have fun in the air and, you know, dance with the clouds and do different tricks and kind of the troublemakers of the sky.
When I joined the Navy, got involved with World War II radio, and the poor Navy was so wrong. It wasn't funny. They didn't know their rear end from their nose. And here I am. I'm an expert. I'm 17 and I'm an expert. I would talk to a pilot, and the first thing I asked him, where are you? And he would say, I don't know. He wouldn't know because he couldn't figure it out. He had no way of recognizing anything. And I come along and told him, fly this heading and he will come to the ocean. And they did. And they began to understand that you could take direction and give it by radio to the pilot to make them go wherever they had to go.
Robina, were you instrumental in getting radio communications into the planes?
Oh, of course I was.
After the war, Robina, well, then Robert, comes home and did what so many other enlisted men did. They looked for a wife. You were still a man at this point.
Yes.
Were you married?
I ended up, before I became a woman, married to a wonderful woman. Her name was Evangelina. She was such a sweet thing. I didn't realize that, but in my opinion, Evangelina is a genius. I remember giving her money, like $75, and she went to the city to buy things, and she came back with, in my estimation, $1,000 worth of goods. That was unbelievably good.
You had children in that marriage?
Yes.
So when did you first think about changing your gender, and when did you decide you must do it?
I found that being a man, there are limits, a lot of limits being a man. You got to do this, you got to do that. I realized that there's limits I can do. How much control do I have over my children when I'm a man as they're growing up? None. After a woman becomes 13, she's a woman then, and she drifts to the women, not to the men. So I became bored with being a man because of the limits of the things that I wanted to do in the world or thought should be done in the world. And I did them, and I liked them, and they were only used by women. I wasn't mad at women or mad at men or had sexual devices thinking that I've got to be a woman, you know. Nonsense. I was straight.
Robina, I'm unclear on something. Was it just that you felt you were done being a man?
Yes. I was bored as a man.
You were bored. Was there an event?
No event. Events.
What was so interesting, and frankly a little confusing for me, was there was no biological imperative for Robert to change to Robina. She wasn't saying she always felt like a woman trapped in a man's body. The decision was born, she says, out of boredom. Boredom? It seemed like a rather dramatic step to take because of boredom. Robina's oldest daughter, Coca, was in the room and added some much-needed clarity.
Maybe, Leslie, let me jog her memory a little bit. Okay. We had a brother, Pepe, who died in a snowmobile accident.
Yeah.
And I think you felt, or you've told me stories, that because of that event, you felt as a man you weren't able to save him. And that was kind of the beginning of cracking the door open a little bit of being not only bored, but helpless as a man. And I think that was the catalyst. It was like a bomb went off when she realized, I can't change the event. I just lost my son.
You're married, you have three children, you lose your son at a young age, and that's when you decide you no longer want to be a man, you want to be a woman. What were you doing for work at that time?
I was a vice president of a rather large financial institution at the time of my change.
How did that go?
Well, my employer was shocked. It's 1972.
how did you break the news to your wife, your children?
Ava, that's where her genius came in. She kind of took it over and worked at it and used it for her own good. I wish I had a lot more time with her.
What about telling your children that you wanted to go from being a man to being a woman?
What does any man know about that? My daughter ended up for 40 years not talking to me. She didn't like it. And neither did the other kids.
Did you expect that?
Yes.
Were you braced for that at some level?
Yes.
Robina's daughter, Coca.
Remember, in the 1970s, I was just a little kid. And at 16, I'm worried about boys, I'm worried about high school, prom, coming up, dances, and that my parents are normal. And I have a situation that is not normal. We live in a building where people know us. We have issues there. And that's okay as long as it didn't cross into my school life, because everything's about my girlfriends and friends at school and teachers. And having that kind of issue between me as a child growing up to about 18, which I think is when Robina transitioned, right at graduation, right before, it was as if my whole world came crashing down and I couldn't hold it together. They were getting divorced. That was a big deal. That was an embarrassment already. That was the biggest embarrassment for anyone. I knew no one in my classes, in my grade school and high school, who were divorced. So a divorce was going to be a big problem. We were taking it 10x and now saying, not only are they getting divorced, here's the reason.
I decided that no matter what, I'm not interfering with their lives. I'm not going to push it down their throats. It is me. Out of the family, I was invisible.
Invisible. Imagine being invisible to the family you helped create. Estrangement from your family is among the most painful human experiences, even if it's a result of your own actions. It doesn't leave a scar so much, but rather an open wound that never heals. And whether you're a parent or a child, every birthday, every holiday, every event becomes a hollow-eyed reminder of the ongoing emotional loss, the emotional void. It's 1976 or so, mid-70s. I don't even think the term transgender was even a term yet. How about the people in your wider circle, adult friends or things like that?
They all left me. They all disappeared. It's like you're dead. You're gone. So you got to start all over again.
Robert, now Robina, is rejected by virtually everyone in her immediate circle as a result of her decision to transition. With one notable exception. Hi, it's Leslie. I hope you are enjoying this episode of A Life's Story so far. We can do this for you. We'll produce a personal audio documentary for a beloved family member. We will capture their life story and present it in a beautiful piece of audio storytelling that you and your family will treasure for years to come. Details are at the very end of this episode. What about your own parents? Were they alive at the time?
My father never knew. He thought I turned queer. And that was the biggest sin that you could ever do to him. And my mother had a girlfriend. And she loved it. We became very close.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how remarkably accepting of your mother,
yes,
given the time in the 70s. Yes. I mean, we knew very little about this, yes, in the 70s. Yes,
I agree.
And Robina then goes forth in the world as a singular person in more ways than one and starts over again. Robina meets Norwood Patton, an artist in New York City. He was a married man, married to a woman whose hysterectomy left her with an emotional imbalance of sorts. Robina and Norwood begin to date, and it gets serious quickly.
I didn't have a long life as a woman.
Before I
met him. Did I have other lovers? Yes, you know, because I'm learning.
Wow. You're learning.
Norwood is such a good man. I consider Norwood Patton a saint. He was capable of making judgments that you couldn't do or I couldn't do.
How long were you dating when you told him of your transitioning?
2 or 3 days.
Really? That quickly? Yeah.
Because what happened? When we became close, I said, I gotta tell you. And I told him. And I knew it would break us up. Because that's how Norwood is. I mean, it's shocking to him. And I was sad because it broke us up, because I liked him. He was such a good man. I hated to lose him, but I had to. And when I did finish telling him, I said, if you ever need me, call me. Now, I thought that was it.
Yet another person learns the truth about Robina and leaves her behind.
About 10 days later, I get a call, and it's Norwood. And he says to me, I don't care what you were, who you were, how you were. I only want to know you. From then on, we weren't separable. So Norwood is married to this nutty woman. She was pleasantly nutty. She wasn't badly nutty. So I could see what he was going through. And I must say that I even admired him more for doing this. We got along as boyfriend and girlfriend for years. Finally, she died, and after that, every week, Norwood would ask me to marry him.
Why didn't you say yes?
I don't know. Because I'm a jerk. You know, I'm a lot more human than you know, okay? I'm no genius or anything. I'm just a jerky female laying around trying to get myself through the world.
Finally, Robina and Norwood marry.
We had a wedding in a giant airport hangar. And in it were pilots, were lawyers, doctors, artists, friends, relatives, and we had such a glorious time. We laughed and ganged, and everybody was delightedly happy.
Norwood and Robina live a gloriously happy life together until Norwood passes away at the age of 97. In June of 2012, Robina, as Norwood's wife, files for survivor benefits from Social Security.
Now, let's talk about you filing for Social Security benefits.
When I applied, for benefits from my marriage, and the government formally turned me down, saying, at the time of this event, I was still a male, so therefore they cannot give it to me.
What did they base that on?
They never recognized that a man could become a woman, or a woman could become a man.
At that point, though, what was your driver's license, your passport?
All
was
female.
Male or female? All female.
I changed everything.
You did. Your flight instructor?
Everything.
ID?
Everything.
Everything.
I had no problem with everything. They all accepted me immediately as a female. And
but not Social Security.
Not Social Security.
Incredible. You know, when you were denied, when you saw the denial, do you remember how you felt at that moment?
Like I wanted to kick the government in its pants. I was mad.
The denial by Social Security strikes me as yet one more rejection of Robina's life choice.
So I called Lambda Legal, and they said, don't worry, relax, we'll take care of it. And sure enough, inside of a year, it was all changed.
On February 14th, 2014, Valentine's Day, almost 2 years from the time she first filed for benefits, Robina gets her Social Security survivor benefits, setting an important precedent. As a result of her case, Social Security changed their policy on transgendered unions. At 94 years old, Robina is an activist. Watching my own parents get into their 90s and speaking to you and people like you, I think the longer you live, certainly the more you see. But also the longer you live, the more you have to deal with loss.
Loss is going to happen. I don't have anyone my age. You sitting there, think of how many you have that are older than you. And think of a time in your life when they're all gone. That's where I am. And it hurts.
Being 99 years old, Robina, you are in a really special club. Is it important to you to make it to 100?
It's important to me as it is to you to wake up in the morning. It's just that fresh. And as long as you keep it fresh, you'll be happy.
Robina is awaiting her certification from the Guinness Book of World Records for not only one, but conceivably two world records, oldest active pilot and oldest active flight instructor. From her most recent and likely record-breaking flight, here she tells an interviewer what she still loves about flying.
Every time I take off, throttle, full in, power, full on, I'm listening to that engine because it's whispering to me sweet little lullabies. And I can sense it's going to take off the ground. And that is a feeling that I'm always wanting to feel. Nothing like doing it.
And at 99, Robina has started a foundation, the Cloud Dancers Foundation. What were cloud dancers?
Jerky men doing stupid things in airplanes that ended up with crashing into the ground all the time. And they were called, those cloud dancers.
I see.
They had airplanes that you wouldn't even be able to sit in today. They were so rickety. And yet they were exercising aerobatics. Isn't that remarkable?
The Cloud Dancers Foundation is a nonprofit whose mission is to grant extraordinary wishes to those who feel invisible. From the aging to the LGBTQ community to homeless youth, Robina is the foundation's founder. Before she turns 100 years old in 2021, her wish is to see the successful launch of her foundation and to let others know, those that feel invisible, that they are seen. Paige Hansen again from the foundation.
And we actually just granted yesterday the first wish. So the foundation received 501c3 status in January. And then, of course, COVID hit. And so some of the things that we wanted to do were a little bit delayed. And we've had to just roll with the punches like everybody else. But we are happy to, you know, have granted the first wish to a transgender gentleman who is 80 years old. So the focus has really been on elder transgender people, which, you know, sort of difficult to find people willing to speak so open and publicly. And he's actually been collecting stories of elder transgender people. So we gave him a grant to help transcribe some of those interviews because he's a slow typist, he says, and get a website up so that other senior trans people can find him. And we felt that it was sort of in line with the Cloud Dancers Foundation mission as well to get people to know these stories and to document them. So he's our first wish recipient.
Us humans are all the same. It doesn't matter what your color is, what your sex is, what your thoughts are. We're all human beings. I talk to you, you talk to me. I love you, you love me.
Although the length of the estrangement is in dispute, Robina remembers it as much longer than Coca. Neither deny that it was a significant estrangement. Yet today, Robina is living in Coca's home. Coca, as a teenager, was understandably distressed and unsettled by the disruption caused by her father becoming a woman and divorcing her mother. Today, though, Coca is sitting by Robina's side and getting her coffee during our interview. I was curious about the reconciliation and what took place to achieve it.
In our family, I have two sons, and I started feeling when they were turning 18 that they really missed out on learning who their grandfather was at the time. And the richness of having someone like Robina in our life was just at a point that I even could not justify the childhood anger that I felt as an dragged through in terms of baggage to my adult life and then now with my children. And so as a result, I said, let me just pick up the phone. Let's see where she is. I knew where she was. She's lived in the same apartment building for 50 years. So it wasn't like many things change in Manhattan. Everybody's in the same place. And it was very easy. She made it super easy to pick up the phone and talk. And we said within a couple of minutes, why don't you come on over? Let's talk.
I can understand when you lose a brother and then your father says, I don't want to be a father, right? I want to be a woman. How disorienting that can be. And you were understandably, I think, angry. What strikes me is that you have such a long gap in your relationship. When you have that anger, I think I would be married to that anger at that point, right? It becomes part of your DNA because you've held onto it for so long. You've been entrenched in your position for so long. So how did you let go of all of that?
The beauty of it is I have a lot of Robina in me. In terms of my outlook, we're both very positive to our fault. And having that background, it just was a yin-yang problem for me. I knew at one point it had to be corrected, And like you said, I was holding on to it, but then I kept saying to myself, why?
And so, with such an extraordinary life, what wisdom does Robina have to share? First, for all of us.
You've got to remember, you're not talking to a 97-year-old person. You're talking to a 99-year-old person. I have less time at 99. And one of the things that's terribly important is that you should never, ever let go of happiness. Be happy with your life. How can I be happy when my dearest friend has just died? You can be happy by knowing that you had the luck of knowing that person. With all of human nature around you, and there's plenty of it, you were happy with that person. It means you can still be happy with people. Get there.
Then, for those contemplating a change in their life that will be deeply unsettling to others, Robina says, patience. Here she is speaking from a TEDx event in New York City just a few years ago.
What I was thinking, that I'm going to become a woman. And it was one of the greatest adventures in my life. I don't say this lightly, because I lost my daughter for many years. I lost my ex-wife for many years. And I lost a few friends. One person whom I informed was out in California, he very candidly said, Robert Asti has died. I don't want to talk about him ever or communicate ever again with anybody with that name. It was pitiful. And I say to you who are changing, be patient. Think about the people that you are talking to. They are absolutely awestruck by this phenomenon. You aren't, but they are. If you had a father and you're changing from male to female, think what that father is doing internally to himself. He is now saying, where's my son? Where's my baseball player? All of those things. And if you're changing from female to male, the father says, what do I do now? I can't stand it. I don't know how to handle this. Be patient. All these mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters still love you. I hope that all you people that are making this kind of change, remember patience and it will work out.
So, what can we learn from Robina Asti? Many things, perhaps, but two things jump out at me. Clearly, as Coca sits by Robina's side, it seems to me that life's greatest blessings can come out of patience. But also, when I think about Robina, I think about the importance of purpose in our lives. Look, we have a 99-year-old still seeking world records and starting a foundation. She is still finding purpose. Purpose gives us the reason to get out of bed in the morning, and purpose provides the energy and motivation to believe that today will be better than yesterday. Even if you reformulate your purpose at times in your life, that's okay too. Human beings are walking stories, extraordinary stories, that are constantly being rewritten.
Doing the things that can possibly make you happy. Doing the things that can make you grow. Here I am at 99, and I'm still cloud dancing around in my own mind, looking for ways to grow.
Robina Asti passed away. Between the time I recorded my interview with her and the time this podcast was released to the public, she was just a few weeks shy of her 100th birthday. I was quite sad. I'm glad to say, however, that she heard her episode, and she really loved it. The work of her foundation continues, which was Robina's wish, with the goal of raising $100,000 this year in honor of Robina's near 100 years of extraordinary life. The money will be used to grant wishes to aging members of the LGBTQ community, and any size donation will make a difference. So please consider giving something to clouddancers.org. You can also connect through GoFundMe, search Cloud Dancers Foundation. Every donation is a way to bring hope, joy, and resilience to the LGBTQ community, especially those who are aging and facing social neglect. I'm Leslie Gold. Thanks for listening to A Life's Story. Hi, it's Leslie. As I create these episodes, I can't help but think of my own parents. They're gone now, and I wish I did this with them. I'd give just about anything to hear them tell their stories in their own voices again. And I thought, well, that's a service worth providing. So now you can get the full life story treatment for your loved one. We capture the life story of an important person in your life, say your parent or grandparent, and create a beautiful piece of audio storytelling that they will love and that you will treasure. You'll be proud to share it with your family, one day your kids and your grandkids. And the personal audio pieces include all the bells and whistles you hear in the podcast episodes. We do in-depth interviews, we score with music, use historical sound, we build a story arc, provide professional narration, and add additional voices. These pieces come out beautifully. And speaking from personal experience, one day you'll be really glad you have it. We are creating personal love stories too. So go to alifesstory.net for more information. alifesstory.net. You can book a call with us from the site, and we can discuss who you have in mind for a personal project in a totally no-pressure call. alifesstory.net.